True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth, as always, is sponsored by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is your full service rare coin and precious metals broker, dealer, depository service. We have been in business for well over two decades. We've done a lot of volume. We've seen a lot of things. We're pretty good at what we do. I think when it comes to building portfolios, I'm pretty good at that. We've done a substantial amount of them, and we've seen people prevail pretty well, actually better than pretty well, phenomenally over time. It is interesting that people that trade in metals and hard assets oftentimes become a little bit jaded, and what I mean is they'll see, their metals go down 10% or something, and they'll be all worried about it, which you shouldn't be watching them all the time. But, I mean, I've been there. Until you get soaked in a market, and believe me, I have, until you lose it all, you just don't understand the risk. And people get, when they get into metals and hard assets, they have this kind of clockwork growth. You'll see ups and downs, but the trend line is up. And you get used to that. When it's down, you're like, hey, what's up? And there is some correct thinking there, because with metals, you technically should be making money. But really, there's some interesting factors that go into that. The fact that precious metals-based assets, I'll say, because there's a whole sector that we operate in here, from numismatic, semi-numismatic, and I use those terms, and people are like, I don't want a rare $10,000 penny. No, well, I do, but that I understand that. But the thing is there are so many items that are directly responsive to the market. When we say semi-numismatic, that used to mean items that would have a premium within 50, depending on the price, within 50 to 100%. Of their intrinsic value. A lot of these items now that are trading, old pre-1933, we call it pre-1933 U.S. gold coins, they are trading at so close to the precious metals price, so close to the price of a gold eagle, when they're available, it's just pure foolishness to take anything else. There, when you can buy an antique, 1 ounce coin, essentially, when you've got your 1895 $20 gold piece, when the gold standard was $20.20 an ounce, and you've got a brand new, say 1995 or 2005 American Gold Eagle, and the American Gold Eagle in some cases is $5 more than the antique, and it's got the same amount of gold, essentially, and the alloys are close. I mean, all of our U.S. coinage, because of the Coinage Act of 1792, is alloyed. People they struggle with that concept. I don't know why. It's funny. I have this math background, and it's a lot of times sitting there talking to people, explaining things, and watching their eyes, and just seeing their bizarre comprehension is astounding to me. It's not an arrogance thing at all. I'm just saying it's really interesting. You see the skill sets and talents or thought processes that God's given people, and maybe that we've also learned, but not everybody's an engineer, or not everybody's a mathematician, and not everybody is an artist, and not everybody is an actor, and not everybody's a great athlete. I mean, we're all given a different set of talents, unquestionably. But it's just interesting sometimes to watch people when you're trying to explain this stuff. In fact, I just sold some to a guy the other day who was looking for gold eagles, and we did about 10 of the $20 gold pieces. And again, it's all based on availability. I don't want to overshoot that too much. But the thing is when I was explaining it, and he kept looking at me funny, and I was like going, man, I'm not doing a very good job of explaining this. And I kept explaining, that you have this new 1 ounce gold coin and 100-some-year-old 1 ounce gold coin. Both are made by the United States Mint. And then I explain the alloys. The way alloy is like there's an ounce of gold in the coin, and then they add another maybe 10% of a hardening agent or an alloy, like copper, silver, whatever. But you still have an ounce of gold in there plus the alloy. the concept of the alloy, molecularly, when you get into metallurgy, you can take two relatively or very unstable metals. I'm just using the extreme example. You can take like zinc and rhodium, or which I'm sure you really care about that, but you can take even aluminum is relatively unstable. But just say zinc and aluminum, and you put them together, and all of a sudden the molecular structure fills in the gaps, and you get a harder, tougher metal. This is where we come up with like bronze. We had copper. You know how they say, well, there was the copper age and then the bronze age. Yes. But what happens is over time, somebody figures this stuff out. You have metallurgists. I'm sure you find, you know, countries like Rome, nations like Rome that are crushing everybody. Their competition, if you will, countries of threat are, you know, they're getting one of their spears or shields or whatever, and they're taking it back to their metallurgist. This is thousands of years ago going, what are they using here, man? We're like hammering on these guys, and they are slicing our spears in half. And a good metallurgist, even though, you know, who knows? I mean, we just assume they didn't have the same testing that we do, and they don't. But, you know, with different acids, heat tests, if a guy's an expert at metal and he starts to heat a piece of the metal up and he can keep track of the general temperature level, he knows exactly how to set it to melt each type of metal, and he can watch each metal soften up or however. Maybe he just learns by touch, kind of touch, sight, feel, like I do with coins, with the, what they're made out of. I can tell you if a coin's, you know, what it's made out of just by handling it, looking at it, and sometimes even smelling it, because silver has a unique smell, nickel has a unique smell. And yeah, but anyway, so they get that. Someone figured out zinc, which is basically like junk out of the ground, and they mix it with copper, and all of a sudden you get this hardened alloy, you know, and zinc's junk. I mean, but so as you get these harder and harder alloys, you get this acceleration in advancement of nations and the ability for them to, you know, make their way forward and things like that. So let me jump down here real quick and try to get this going. Now I got my computer rolling good. I was gone for about a week, and trust me, I'm a little worn out from it. So a couple things to cover. I mean, I've got so much on my mind. I gave myself a whole bunch of notes. I know my last show on Monday, I did a lot on Mikovits, the gal who was opposing, if you will, Fauci. And I cannot believe, folks, I have kind of been out searching. I am like a flustered. I mean, today on the radio, I have XM. And I was driving through this kind of rural area, and I was spinning through the channels, and all of a sudden I couldn't change the channel for a bit, like a minute, and I got stuck on Howard Stern. Oh, my goodness. I've never heard him before. I didn't know what he was about. I thought, well, you know, the guy gets $52 million a year or something to be on the radio, and people said he's foul, and I'd heard him. I'd seen him here and there, you know, on interviews and winning awards. And I thought, well, yeah, he's goofy looking, man. Today I listened to that guy. Holy moly. He is not a clean one. It was terrible. And of course, XM Radio is apparently really emphasized on the X part. No, I mean, there's a lot of good stuff on XM. Don't get me wrong. But I mean, apparently there's no rating limit. So he can talk like, wow. Filthy foul. But what really bothered me the most, and I've been through this a little bit lately because I mean, I don't know, God's just like putting me in all these conversations with people over this stuff. I mean, just the hatred, the vitriol, and they do. I'm not going to, you know, their perspective of Trump is really pathetic and really sad. It's just hateful. It's unforgiving. It's fault finding. And I mean, that all these are spirits, you know, even when it says, you know, in Galatians, the fruit of the spirit is blank. Well, before that, it says the acts of the flesh are, and it's like enmities or whatever it is, divisions, striving, enmities. Well, enmities is fault finding. enmities is being easily offended. You know, and this is the spirit that we've got. And now we have an easily offended unity in this country. I stopped by and met with a friend, I'll say, on my way back from Montana, and just listening to the hatred towards Trump and the vitriol, and, you know, and, I mean, it's just twisted. And then, you know, they'll, like, run questions at me, and then I want to pull out facts and evidence. I'm a heavy guy into that. And then it's just they keep shooting and shooting, and all it's basically emotion. They ask the questions rhetorically, I think. Or they just try to beat in an argument. But the thing is, if you don't have the facts on your side, they're getting slaughtered. But it's kind of like, it's interesting, the delusion, because it reminds me of when I was into martial arts and boxing. I love boxing and martial arts because it ties so much into real life, you know. If you fight mad, you'll get knocked out. Well, if you fight mad in life, you'll get knocked out. You just have to use your head and your logic and common sense. You got to train and all that. And there was a guy there that was just adamant that he wanted to be a boxer. And he got beat up a lot. They were gentle to him, but he just wasn't good. But he was just convinced that he was doing all right. And it was a thought process I didn't quite get. Because he just, you know, no matter how he turned it, I mean, he, you know, like I said, people didn't intentionally just abuse him, but he'd get tuned up pretty good, knocked out in the ring and whatever. But he was just sure that he was doing good. And I see that as this whole conversation I had with a friend lately, or a relation or whatever, where I'm dealing with this stuff with them, and it doesn't matter. It's like they're just getting slaughtered. I am an addict for accuracy. If you want to quote me, I mean, it's so critical. And all the games that people play in communication, I mean, if you want to quote me to myself and want me to take responsibility, quote me accurately. But when people try to twist your words and say you said this or that, and also, you know, basically discerning between innuendo and speech. If someone makes a statement about, well, you know, when he was acting like... You know, he was acting like he was really hot stuff. And then they go, well, he never said that or something. Those things, it's really important to be sincere and genuine in your conversations with people. It is really also important to realize right now, I mean, probably at all times, people are always like, oh, you know, things are so bad right now. Well, they're definitely being tried, but I don't know. There has definitely been a cultural bent over the last few decades that has really taken us down. We're frustrated as believers, as Christians. I mean, there's a lot of room for frustration. I'll even admit, when you've got somebody, as the Bible says, the devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Imagine he's doing that to all of us, but do you think he might be doing that to Trump a little bit? So when you've got that situation going on, there are situations where he should be very careful about what he says and how he says it. It is very interesting to me sometimes that he says things that are inaccurate. And like I said, accuracy is so important to me. And he's the president of the United States. And some of the thought process of the guy confuses me because... He's been this big real estate baron, and I don't know, you know, people say, oh, he was a bully, and he's this and that, and he's like, you know, people, it's really frustrating. People don't understand what goes into that. You don't get to that level by being a bumbling fool. He may have an issue with getting the right words out now and then or whatever, and I think he needs to step on the gas sometimes, but it is a big deal when the president of the United States is taking offense from individual reporters and things like that, and he essentially carries with him the power and authority of the United States of America. So if you get somebody who's really foolish and really wrong, you know, he has to be very careful about taking all that power and authority with him when he defends himself, as he often does. But then again, you know, he really, people say that, but he's constantly being attacked and undermined and written negatively about, and you count the millions and tens of millions of times he doesn't. I think in some cases he's doing what the media's job is and they're not doing. The bias at this stage, you all know, is as bad as it's ever been. You've heard it all. But I'm seriously telling you, folks, pray. I would pray. I am praying. But I'm asking you to pray, because this nation needs a revival in a huge way. And when I talk about what's going on, and I'm going to do a little bit more of it now, it's not in order to just be dwelling on what's wrong and build fear. It's because we need to know the truth. The truth will set us free. Some people get really, really bothered by this stuff, and they don't know. They don't know they do, because they don't know. I deal with this stuff with people all the time, and people have a different response. But if you're operating during all this stuff at kind of this mid-level and below kind of a depressive situation, you got to ask yourself how you can get out of that, because these are not good times. And in all aspects of America, and if you're if you want to, you know, be told that everything's fine and dandy and great and everything's wonderful, then I'm probably not the guy to listen to, because right now it's not. But somebody needs to stand up and tell the truth, and unabridged. I don't owe anybody anything. I mean, we're debt-free. I don't, no one pays for the radio station. I mean, I don't have advertisers. I don't have, you know, so I can speak my mind. I don't have a church. Other than the listeners, I guess, but it's not really a church. I don't have a body that I'm accountable to, and that's not, I don't say that in a bad way, like, so I can do whatever I want on the internet. No, I'm just saying, I can speak my mind, and it may not be put well often, but maybe I got a little Trump in me. I don't know, but I will try to get the truth out. And I don't have a lot of doing what I do in this business with Coins Plus and other real estate things I always have going. I don't have a lot of time to prepare for much. I'm behind a lot on stuff, and we've prayed over the years for certain employees. It's an interesting business to learn. I won't get into all that today. But the bottom line is I want to bring you the truth as much as I can. I can't always do the most beautiful job, just because of the simple fact that you know, I'm tied up or whatever, but that's my goal. So let's start talking about notes I've given myself for the last few days. I was out on the road for about a week, and I did a show on Monday from my mother's house after Mother's Day. Wednesday, I was unavailable, and we did a rerun, etc. So I want to start out with Proverbs 18:2. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his own opinion. I love that verse. I learned that verse in college shortly after I became a believer. And that verse just hits home with me. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his own opinion. I mean, think about that. A fool. I mean, it's interesting, because those of us who think we're the wisest are probably the ones that are, you know, maybe trying a little too hard to not maybe understand somebody else's perspective, but to express our opinion. I personally always try to be a really good listener, and God can always test you in that, obviously. But we need to be good listeners. But what's interesting is when we get into the foolish side, and it's not, you know, we get mocked. Like I said, I ended up tripping over Howard Stern station today. Ugh. I mean, I'm telling you, I burned that down. That thing, burning it down is not even enough. But I ended up tripping over them while they were trashing on Christianity, making fun of Oprah, which is, you know, her whole story that they were mocking was silly, too. It was more of a, you know, the law of attraction, because she thought positive and sang a song, and that's how she got the movie The Color Purple, which is essentially what spearheaded her to what she is today. and all that stuff. But they were mocking God and Jesus and Christians and Trump and Pence and mocking people who think God will help them provide them a job. Folks, I'll tell you what, if you're a believer in Christ and you live by faith, you believe in him, he will break you out and he will take you places you would never, ever go on your own. Absolutely, unquestionably. He will make you the one out of a million. When you need something and there's so many people in line for it, I could tell you stories after story, not just out of my own life, but other people's lives where, you know, God can do anything if he's on your side. He goes before you. He goes with you. He protects you. He covers you. He looks out for you. He even, you know, it says if you tithe, he protects your money from the devourer. And folks, you got to think about that too. That if there is a devourer that is consuming our finances, in other words, oh, things break down, unexpected bills pop up, medical stuff, you know, the flat tire in the car, or you got to travel, you know, whatever. There's always something that can pop up that can really consume your money, or even worse. You got to remember that time is a very valuable commodity as well. Time is a very valuable commodity that you owe God an explanation for, but we don't emphasize that enough in America, I guess, or maybe on this globe. That's your greatest commodity. You cannot replace it. Once it's gone, it's gone. So when you're dealing with a fool who takes no pleasure in understanding, you have to respect your time. You don't throw, as Jesus said, pearls to swine. He knew. There is a time and a place you know you're done. When people just start to spew ignorance and they just want to debate, but facts don't matter. I had a young lad, we'll say, back in, I don't know, however many years ago, maybe probably 4 years ago, that was at our house out in Coeur d'Alene when we were living there, and we had a big event going on, and it was a family friend, there was quite a few people staying at our house, and he was a young lad, and I'd seen him about a month earlier, and he asked about my radio show and wanted to listen to it, and I told him where he could, and he came, and he was arguing with me about all the things I said. Obviously, this was a month later. He's a liberal, a very foolish one at that, young. Knows nothing, and he starts making comments, and I won't spend a whole bunch of time on it, but claiming there should be a law that requires somebody to be on every radio station to sit there and argue and refute everything being said. Wouldn't that be constructive? I explained to him, well, that's why, you know, we have the First Amendment, the freedom of speech, and he kept going on, and I finally was like, after this went on a while, I said, do you know what the First Amendment is? No. Do you know what the Bill of Rights is? No. This kid has a degree, okay? Do you know what the Constitution, or I said, have you read the Constitution? No. Do you know what it is? Because he was acting funny. He said, well, I've heard of it, okay? This is, like I said, a young lad at the time, in his late, maybe 28 years old, got a college degree. And he tells me he's heard of the Constitution. I said, well, listen, you go read the Constitution to an intelligible concept of what's there, and we'll talk. But if you haven't read that, and you have no belief or understanding of why you're standing here in this country talking the way you are, it's a moot point. It's pearls to swine. We have to know that. We've got to know. We've got to save our energy. It is also very draining to try to deal with that kind of stuff. And it's disheartening, too, because you care about people and you want the truth. Now, everything has become about Trump, and I don't even know where to go with all that. I've been just listening to this stuff, and I'm like, oh, boy. So we're in interesting times. So I'll bounce around. But what you have going on right now is you got all this reveal going on about extreme FBI corruption. I mean, things that are over the top and so beyond anything we've ever seen in this country. Folks, I want you to think clearly, and you get data and you talk to your friends. This country is doing things that are far exceeding any violations of national security that any other country in history has ever done. We're pushing things so far, and we're so comfortable with it, we've lost our minds. That's what I hear people saying all the time. Well, if you know, but then I run into some of these fog brain liberals, and they're just, and that offends them, and you can't get them to win, because if somebody doesn't want facts, so here's what happens. I sit down with this individual, and we're friends, and we had a great time and had coffee, and it was, I don't want to get into details because I wanted to disclose the relationship, but you know, you sit down, you start talking to this stuff. Then all of a sudden, I pull out facts. Oh, I'm on the internet showing him this, showing him that. Oh, I don't believe that. Okay, well, that's actually from Bill Gates himself, and it's on the Bill Gates and Melinda, you know, Foundation website. Well, I don't believe it. Okay, what do you do with someone like that? It's like, okay, so why don't you go figure it out? But they don't want to. Well, why would they do that? Why? First, we got to look at the facts. We just got to look at what's going on. And we got to look at where the facts lead us. I mean, yes, you need a motive, but the most important time for a motive is if you're either looking to wrap up a conviction or charges, or trying to find an otherwise unknown assailant or perpetrator of a crime. So asking why before you look at the facts, because you don't like the facts. A lot of people that are fear-ridden are driven by fear, and I've dealt with the share, and they look at the consequences of the information they're about to receive, and they get terrified because typically they're fear-driven, which is a lack of bravery, typically a lack of courage. They're afraid of the consequences of the information. So they look and they go, oh my gosh. Which really boils down to the need to change. The need to change their thinking, their lifestyle, their friends, their belief system, whatever it may be. And they freak out and back off because they hate change. I'm not saying all conservatives are open to change. I'm just saying that changing your thinking, truth is a craving. The truth will set you free. If you have God in your spirit, you'd crave truth. I can't imagine being any other way, whether it be women or men. I mean, there's so many women that you'll meet that are just so articulate and for Jesus and so amazing. It's just, I just find it amazing. There's nothing more attractive than an intelligent, intellectual woman with a good command of the English language. So let's move on. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his own opinion. When you see that and you're hitting a wall, back off. Don't get frustrated. A friend of mine was saying, man, I'm about ready to let loose on my relatives because the way they think and act. You can't. There's nothing you can do, folks. As long as CNN's out there and MSNBC, you're done. I mean, these people will get their news from these hideous, angry sources because, frankly, we didn't, you know, generation after generation, we haven't taught our children right. We haven't taught them how to think. And I'm talking at the home and the schools. At home, we have to teach our children how to think. You know, the Kennedys, the Kennedy family, they're not politically aligned with my belief system at all. But their story is growing up, no matter what home they were in, Robert or John or whatever, they would have, over the dinner table, they would be stimulated with very intellectual philosophical questions. And they were expected to respond accordingly. They were expected to have to, you know, construct a cohesive response or to stand up for their position, to be able to substantiate it, etc. It was a family culture. Well, you've seen the Kennedys over the years haven't done too shabby, right? I mean, you're talking about a family going back a long ways. You know, there's corruption and all that, I know. But, you know, the point is stimulating that aspect of your brain, making you think, teaching you how to think, schools as well. Some of these kids, they go to these really elite schools for a long time. They were being taught how to think. That's why they could come out and run circles around other people. The Australian school system doesn't have all these liberal arts. You want a 4-year degree in whatever, an engineering, you go to school for 4 years And while you're in school for 4 years studying engineering, you're only taking classes that are relevant towards it. So you're going to be taking physics and metallurgy and some statistics and a lot of applied mathematics and all this kind of stuff. But you're not going to be taking underwater basket weaving and, you know, yoga crochet from a treetop or, you know, all this one semester only. You know, Professor Winkelstein from Finland is coming to show how you can channel the breath of a lion into your heart. And, I mean, they have this stuff, and it's all, you know, and then to make it look good, it's for women and transgender are first to be accepted. And, you know, this is the stuff that this is our liberal arts degree. And guess what? You don't get anything. They have all of your curriculum when you get a degree, if it's an applied type degree. All of your curriculum comes in the higher. It's 200. In other words, when you're in college, the 100 level is for freshman year, 200 sophomore, 300, freshman, junior, sophomore. Gosh, have been a while since I've been in college. So you got it. There's 100, 200, 300, and 400 level, okay? 100's for freshman, 200's for sophomore, 300 levels technically junior, 400 levels for senior. That's hypothetical. You do mix match the classes, but they have it set up so all your required curriculum for your bachelor's degree is in the 300 and 400 level. Then they have prerequisites, requirements. You have to have these other classes before, et cetera. So they set it up so you have to take the liberal arts. You can't go and knock out the first 2 years in all engineering classes and get your engineering hardware wired and then go start your own company or whatever. I mean, they've got it set up so they have to brainwash you. And it's absolutely mandatory. So they're teaching us what to think, and it's getting worse and worse. Liberal arts, the way they used to teach it, made sense. You know, when I was a young buck, which I'm not that old, but I feel like it's... We had home economics in junior high. That was an incredible class. They teach you how to balance a checkbook. They teach you about checking and savings and how to manage your money. And they would. They teach you how to cook. They teach you how to measure. They teach you how to sew. They teach you how to repair things. They have first aid. You know, you learn all these applicable things that really mattered out there in life, and especially for a housewife, because at the time, that was not a dishonorable choice. I was probably one of the first generations where it really became mainstream that women would go out and work. But you got to remember, we were teaching people how to think. So what's going on now out there is people are learn what to think, and as long as they throw out the bell and say, ooh, bad conservative, bad Christian, then they all jump on board, and they act like a herd of animals. They're not thinking for themselves. They're not taking responsibility for their own actions. So we'll leave that there. 401ks, this is something I'm going to bounce around a little bit on some stuff. Folks, there is a law, I guess if you'd call it, an order put in for COVID that you can early withdraw your 401k or IRA for anything. You can actually do investments. In other words, what I mean is that you have no penalties for early withdrawal, no tax penalties, et cetera. It's all waived. The tax penalties are waived during this COVID thing. I don't know when it's over. It really is a perfect time to make a move. I've had people talk to them over the years. I mean, you got everything going for you right now. You get in right now. You're not, any taxes you owe aren't going to be due for a year. And you can get out without paying the penalties. And you can also get out before the big one comes. Now, God puts me in weird situations. When I was driving home, I got a flat tire, and I had to call a guy, and then I met a guy who is very well, I mean, it was through a series of events. He pulled up, and he was very well connected, and we had a conversation, and he's well connected out in the Seattle area, and he knows Bill Gates, not like best friends. I know people that know Bill Gates. I don't think Bill Gates has any best friends. He's all business, but he knows a lot about him. He worked for his organization for an unbelievably long time, and he's done very well for himself. And he really believes that all of the linearity of events that led up to this, that happened to have the common thread throughout them of Bill Gates, are legit and true. The thing that he said, he and other cohorts of his, I guess, that have also worked for that organization, have heard things on the inside that they believe they're a real virus could be released before the election. Something that's a true threat. This has a shutdown, but it's an irony. It's an absolute delusion. Just the way everything about it. The number of coronavirus strains there are, the actual, infected fatality rate is being not tracked. The different ways that they classify the fatality diagnoses that go from everything from factual lab testing to assumptive to, a symptomatic, presumptive, and epidemiological, which means they've been in contact with someone or hypothetically been in contact. 98% of the reported COVID deaths caused by or related issues, they claim, 98% are truly folks that have been untested. This is a fact. There's no numbers for influenza this year. The CDC said pool them all together. The overall fatality rates around the globe have not increased at all, not even statistically relevant. But the number of COVID deaths has gone way up. The number of other illness deaths have crashed through the floor. And they are just transferring everything over. Why? Some reason. We're pouring money at everybody who plays the game well. And that applies to municipalities and all kinds of things like that. So, in other words, cities, states, organizations, hospitals, rest homes. There's so much crazy stuff with Cuomo putting all these supposed sick COVID patients in rest homes to die. And people are saying, well, what about all the bodies piled up? Why are the bodies piled up? They're not piled up because people are dying left and right. They're piled up because New York State and city said, no, we're not going to touch them. We're not going to move them. We're not going to deal with them. You have to leave those bodies on your own private property. That's terrible. That's not to serve and protect. We've literally lost our perspective. I know you know this, but I'm just touching on it. We have absolutely lost our perspective. You think of all the things we pay taxes for, and this is absurd, and it's going to prove to be a big nothing. I mean, they have to fake the numbers and cook it. I was thinking today, you know, you think of in Matthew 24, where Jesus talks about us being deceived in the end times. Or the great, as some call it, the great deception. I mean, you start putting together different people that have been involved in politics that are still involved or wanting to get back in, and you put together this series of events as if, people are like, oh, they could never create a conspiracy like this. But somehow they knew all this stuff about the FBI was going to be coming out. I mean, really, when you have unbelievable amounts of money, you can do unbelievable things, folks. I mean, there's people out there. There's, you know, drug cartel that have incredible underwater submarines. They have skimmers that get caught, but they have submarines that don't get caught. I know of a very wealthy individual years back out in the Seattle area who had literally bought a tremendous property on Lake Washington and built this phenomenal place. He built underground living quarters that were nuke-proof with a wall that appeared as aggregate concrete as you walked down the back side of the house, which was shaped in a U, and the U was against the hillside. It looked like an aggregate concrete wall. Well, apparently this gentleman could run. I know one of the guys who did the work there forever. He worked for the state. The state did a lot of the work because it was so big. And he could run behind these big columns and disappear into that wall. No one knew how. And then he would have this extraordinary underground living area where he could take his family. They could live forever. No one could, you know. I mean, it's nuke-proof when it's shut. It's a vault that's nuke-proof. And it's way underground. And then in addition to that, he'd put in a long tunnel that went all the way out. And we're talking deep because there's a hillside below or above that goes all the way up. Way, way, way up. And then this tunnel goes all the way back and turns and comes out on a different parcel of land. But his tunnel's so far underground, no one would ever find it. And it literally goes under a road and other people's property and then comes out on another piece of his property that no one knows he owns. Because it's just this weird private little lot that's pretty good size and it's all covered in brush and scraggly stuff. And he's got this little rock mound, and in the middle of it, they drilled up through it, and he's got some kind of submarine door and all that. The reason I'm saying this is people with a lot of money do crazy things, and they got to spend it on something. You get into tremendous amounts of money, and tremendous people who have the ability to develop tremendous plans. I mean, Bill Gates is big. He's controlling as much information as Google, really. In a way, and he's been doing it a long time, and he's got the right people to do it. They're the ones that can put this thing together. And a lot of it is just triggering the dominoes. They don't have to educate people how to react. I had a guy saying to me, well, how can the whole world be in on it? Simple. Who's leading it? Us. They're just following us. You just need one granddaddy, and we're leading the party. We're the ones telling them what to do. And then, you know, there we had Event 201, and then we had... we came back with the pandemic docuseries, and then instantly this popped up. And right as this popped up, we had all the propaganda video from China with people flopping in the streets and body bags everywhere. And we terrified everybody so that everybody overreacted. China's shutting down our country. All of our enemies are shutting us down. They're slamming the price of oil down. No one can say anything good about what Trump's done with oil. He made us oil independent. First president to do so. Of course, now Obama wants to take credit for it, which is silly. But at the same time, he made it that OPEC, essentially, and those gentlemen over there in the Middle East are terrible. They have run their oil down to destroy us. It's the old saying, they don't care if they win or lose, as long as we lose. Well, they're pounding the price of the barrel of oil down so low, they're trying to make it so it's not even profitable for us to be oil independent. They're just saying, heck, and they do. They have excesses of oil. Why? Why do you suppose they have excesses of oil? Maybe because we're oil independent, so they're dumping it on the market. Well, we, you know, with COVID, we've backed off on drilling and all that, and there, you know, there are people that are definitely out to get us and destroy us. People don't understand that we're not loved globally and all this. Let's copy this country and that country and Sweden. Sweden, you know, and Sweden's the one country they did nothing for COVID. And I was reading an article the other day where they're like, oh, you know, their rates of COVID are higher than other similar countries like Denmark and Finland and all this. And a lot of it has, yeah, I won't even get into the statistics why, but it's not that much higher. And it's a lot lower than everywhere else. And they're not having a pandemic run amok. And people say, we need socialism and healthcare like Sweden. Well, guess what? They sell natural resources to pay for everything. And they believe in equality, which is goofy. And they'll work against you until they make you equal. But the people there are equally relatively well off. There's about 10 million citizens. But, you know, they sell all these natural resources to fund everything. And then people generate wealth and all that. So they maintain a level of motivation towards work and excellence. Education is you know, easy to get hypothetically. You got to study to get the degree and all that. But they put out some pretty smart people. It's not so real socialism. It's a natural resources thing. There's a lot of countries that do that. Countries like, you know, Morocco and things like that. But then you get leaders that are corrupt, that are scraping off the top. So we can't be compared. And the other one they always compare us to is Denmark. And I don't have a show to go into that, but I'll tell you what, there is no similarities at all. That country is freeloading off of everybody all the time. And it's just the worst example ever. Plus, we're the biggest power hitter in the world, in the history of the world, and we need to honor and respect that. And we need to respect ourselves. When you're the big boy on the block, people want to take your head off. They don't love us. I mean, granted, there's a difference between the way God judges a country and an individual. And, you know, he can judge a country and bless an individual. Obviously, he can judge an individual and bless a country. And we can't tie the two together, but we need to care for our nation. Our nation was laid down by men, great men's lives, and it's being taken away. So let's go. I'm going to tick-tock ahead here. So we got the 401k. You can pull your money out of your 401k. You can get an early withdrawal now with no penalties. And, folks, you're going to owe some tax, but you know what? You're just postponing the inevitable anyway. Trump's in office. If you don't think when they get another socialist back in that they're going to whack this tax program like never before, folks, it's not about them needing money. I mean, I've had some interesting conversations lately. I've had a guy telling me, oh, it's back to the one percenter thing, you know, and it's basically the biggest problem is that the 1% have all of our money. It's like, this has been a complaint forever, folks. It's not a zero-sum game. So they got lucky. Or whatever. They worked their tail off. So they're smart. So they inherited. Who cares? Is that your problem? Can any individual in this country become wealthy without somebody else going into poverty? The answer is absolutely. And it's that, you know, all these deceptive, elusive, pro-socialist people don't even know what they're asking about. The 1%. I like this. I'm trying to look it up. They give me percentages of how much they own, but they don't show you the dollar amount. Why would I want to know the dollar amount? Is owned by the top percent because there's not nearly enough to do anything, okay? A confiscation of all the wealth, you know, $8.5 trillion or whatever it is in this nation in real estate and whatnot, the top percent has, let's see, 45% of it, $8.5 trillion. Da, da, da. So basically, you've got a factor of, what, half, they say, in the hands of the 1%. But that's also included in, they're including large C corporations there, which is probably not maybe that accurate. But the thing is, when you look at the fact that our unfunded liabilities in this nation are over $200 trillion, okay? And our deficit is now approaching $30 trillion soon, by the end of this year, $30 trillion. And they're blaming the 1%. I mean, you can't. The wealth that they hold, not all of that has even been derived from the United States. The wealth that they hold is not the answer. And these are people that run the machine. We don't want to knock these people out. These people, you know, if they're corrupt, take care of them, et cetera. But there's constant diversions. So we'll go on. So long story short, folks, you want to talk about the 1%? There, the big movement there into the metals. We've got another big tsunami coming, I assure you. I guarantee you. But it is time to make the move. I would highly recommend it. Figure out what you can do financially. Come see us. We'll take care of you. Also, if you can do a review on Google and wherever you want to go, Facebook, Bing, whatever, positive 5-star reviews based on business experience. We'll give you 2 for 3 reviews, 2 nice Morgans, which are worth good money right now. That's a pretty good value. It's 50 or 60 bucks value. But, you know, we get odd things. You get people generally, I learned when I was studying statistics, people usually fill out voluntary reviews and ratings only based on an emotional drive. If people have an expectation and it's met, they don't say anything. If people have low expectations and they're exceeded in some certain way, sometimes they might say something. If people have what they consider a bad experience, which oftentimes can be based on unrealistic expectations, they'll tend to report or tend to go rate. And so you get a little bit of skewing there, and so we have to have balance of, because happy people don't tend to do that. It's so if you would do that for us, we'd appreciate it. As far as the precious metals, time to move, we're on top of it. We've been doing a fair amount of that. COVID's definitely had its effect on us. We're not seeing the traffic we were at all. I'll tell you something else that's crazy. So I was reading on this on Friday, I think I found it. So the IRS comes out. So they do these PPP loans, payroll protection plans. They give businesses money to pay employees, and the business gets nothing. Now, think about this. That money is now tax. It's not tax. It's taxable. So they get all these businesses to take the money. After they take the money, then the IRS comes out and goes, oh, that is going to be reported to you as income, because after all, it's a forgiven loan. Well, a forgiven loan typically applies to things like a bankruptcy or fraud, repossession. It doesn't apply to this. Why did they name it a loan to be forgiven? So they could go retax and get 30% of it back to the state and to the Fed? I mean, really? So they're given, I have friends that have bigger companies, and they're, you know, they might have got a couple of them got about 160,000. So all of a sudden now they're going to have 160,000 in income on their palate. The things they use that money to pay for are not tax deductible. So if they pay wages, nope, that didn't work. Now they're going to owe tax. You're digging another big grave. This stuff is like, this is not America, folks. This is this absolute, we can't be fair, we can't be kind, we can't be capitalist, we just can't give you a break, you know? And it's not that they owe us the money, but you know what? Once you put it out there, stop. What's Trump thinking? On the financial end, I'll tell you straight up, Trump thinks for C corporations. Everything he's done has benefited the big boys, the massive kings like he is. The little mom and pops, they're dying. I mean, there is a huge agenda here. He may not be the one driving it, but he's still pushing it. And he's such a fool, and he's dug a grave and killed his credibility so bad he doesn't have any, like I said, no credibility. He can't get his teeth into it. He thinks he's playing along. He's playing the game because, I mean, they've set him up because he wouldn't play the game before. And he's doing damage to this country that's going to hurt. But there's now, what's our option? A radical socialist, full-throttle communist? I'm telling you, folks, the only thing I can come to is protect and prepare. And like I said, financially, you better protect and prepare. I hope I'm wrong, but there's no way there is not a massive landslide coming to the market. When it does, it might not look quite like you expect because we're going to crash up. And the reason we're crashing up, the definition of inflation is an increase in the money supply. We've had an increase in the money supply so substantially, it's immeasurable and it's unprecedented in history. It's crazy. We have hyperinflation. So as the dollars become more prevalent and the spending power of it grows weaker, you're going to see an increase in the markets, indexes, just because there's more money out there to play with. That's all by design. The Fed's doing their magic. There's all kinds of things going on. You're still going to see a massive loss of spending power. That wealth will be transferred, and it will be transferred to those with smart, hard assets. Exotic luxury properties, don't touch them. You know, that kind of stuff. There's all kinds of things that you definitely want to avoid. Let me see what I can get through here in the last little bit of time. So let's go. So we're always on top of the market. We'll always help you get the best portfolio. So it's now is a good time to make that choice. I saw this week Boy Scouts were banned from putting flags on the graves of veterans, which is outdoors. Now we're finding, you know, the sun, the wind, and all that. This stuff doesn't transfer out there. This, if it even was real. This lockdown's being used to destroy America. We're destroying churches, protests, gun stores, which is a hot topic I didn't have time to get into. Why are they doing this? Is this really as orchestrated as we think? We've got, you know, it's just astounding. There's political weaponizing. They're politically weaponizing the national security to further their political posit. I can't even believe what the FBI's done. The FBI was supposed to be spy catchers, and they are the worst spiers ever. The things they've done politically, we have been taken over. We've been taken over by, you know, the secret societies getting the right people in place. The right person gets in power, and they play favorites. They work the system. They bring in their own. You don't see that so much on the more conservative side because they want to be constitutionally fair and whatnot like that. We've got, you know, it's turning out in all these things that we've got all this spying on countless Americans based on FISA court lies and deceptions. It's turning out, as I said, that the FISA court judges aren't flinching at this stuff. We would have expected them to say, what? I was taken advantage of. We're finding out they're in on it, which is full throttle deep state. FISA, basically the court that approves things secretly. To spy on supposed foreign agents or whatever. It was created to intentionally circumvent the Fourth Amendment, which is the illegal protection against illegal search and seizure. We've got this unmasking thing, which is a worse law because it was supposedly reserved for the highest ranking government officials in the most extreme cases who could be trusted beyond question and who had sworn to a higher level of secrecy clearance than the person being unmasked, which is the unraveling of a real conspiracy as we get into this. The left is calling it an unfounded conspiracy and distractions and all this stuff. And we're finding out there's dirt going down, folks. They're claiming that a reduction in the number of unmasks in 1 year somehow justifies what they did to all the Trump associates. All the turning and twisting here has just been nuts. Obama's coming out. We must have hit the bear. We, folks, there's a lot going on. This COVID thing may have been partially developed to cover up all this investigation stuff that's coming out. Just prepare yourself financially. Gain wisdom and grow, but be protected, okay? It's a good time to move in. Take care. God bless. Have a wonderful weekend, and thanks for tuning in. Bye-bye.